Chapter 39. Subject, Okku's return journey and his visiting a Vishnuloka within the Jamuna river. In this way, Okku was very much warmly received by Lord Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and was offered resting place for sleeping over the night. In the meantime, the two brothers, Balaram and Krishna, went for taking their supper, and Arjuna, sitting on his bed, began to think that all his desires, which he thought while coming from Mathura to Vrindavan, was by that time fulfilled. Lord Krishna, who is the husband of the goddess of fortune, being pleased on his pure devotee, can offer anything the devotee desires. Still, the devotee does not ask anything from the Lord for personal benefit. Krishna, after taking his supper, when he came to bid good night to Akrura, he asked only about Kamsa, his maternal uncle, how he was dealing with his friends and relatives, as well as he inquired from Ankura what was his plan of work in this connection. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna also informed Ankura that his presence was very much welcome. He inquired also from him whether all his relatives and friends were all well, as also whether they are all freed from all kinds of ailments. Krishna also informed Akrura that he was very sorry that his maternal uncle Kamsa was the head of the kingdom and he is the greatest anachronism in the whole system of government. Therefore, how could he expect any welfare of the citizens under him? Krishna continued to say, I can understand from the example of my father how much tribulations he had undergone simply on account of my being his son. Simply for this reason, he has had lost so many other sons. I think myself so much fortunate that you have come as my friend and relative. Now, my dear uncle, you can tell me what is the purpose of your coming here in Vrindavan. After this inquiry, Akrura, who belonged to the dynasty of Madhu, explained the whole incidences in Mathura, including Kamsa's attempt to kill Vasudev, the father of Krishna, and the things which all happened after the disclosure of the fact by Narada that Krishna is the son of Vasudev, hidden by him in the house of Nanda Maharaj. Akrura exactly narrated all the stories, how Narada met Kamsa, and how he was devoted by Kamsa to come to Vrindavan to take him there. In fact, Akrura explained to Krishna that the secret of his being transferred from Mathura to Vrindavan just after his birth and the killing of all kinds of demons sent by Kamsa were all disclosed by Narada to Kamsa. Thus, Akrura explained to Krishna the purpose of his coming to Vrindavan to take him there as directed by Kamsa. After hearing this, both Balaram and Krishna were very much expert in killing opposing elements, mildly luck on the plans of Kamsa, and they immediately informed Nanda Maharaj how Kamsa had invited them all to go to Mathura to participate in the ceremony known as Dhanurjagga. And they also informed that Kamsa wanted them all to go there to participate in the function. On hearing this, Nanda Maharaj immediately called for all the cowherds' wives and asked them to collect all kinds of milk preparation and milk just to take there to present to the king in the ceremony. He also sent information through the police aid of Vrindavan area to all the inhabitants about Kamsa's great function on Dhanurjagga, and informing them to go over there and join. Nanda Maharaj informed all the cowherds' boys that they would start tomorrow morning. Therefore, arrange for the carts and bulls to carry them all to the Mathura city so that they could enjoy the great function to be held by Kamsa. The next day, to take part in that great function. When the gopis, however, heard that Akrura had come there to take away Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, immediately they became overwhelmed with great anxiety. Some of them became so much aggrieved that their faces immediately turned to be blackened and began to breathe one air with palpitation of heart, so much so that their tightening of the bunch of hair and dread immediately became loosened. And others were engaged in household affairs duties, just after hearing this news, stopped working as if they have forgotten everything, like a person who is all for to die, leaving this world immediately. And others immediately felt separation from Krishna, remembering his attractive smile, and he talks with the gopis, and the gopis, remembering all these past incidences, immediately became overwhelmed with grief. They all remembered immediately the characteristics of the personality of Godhead, how he moves within the area of Vrindavan, and how with joking words he attracts all the hearts of the gopis. Thus all the gopis, thinking of Krishna and his their imminent separation from them, they assemble altogether with great heavy heart, completely absorbed in the thought of Krishna, and shedding tears from the eyes, they began to talk as follows. O Providence, you are so cruel that as it appears that you do not know how to show mercy to others. By your arrangement, friends contact one another, but without fulfilling their desires, you separate them. These actions are exactly like childish play without any meaning. It is very, very much abominable action by you that you arrange to show us Krishna is so beautiful, with bluish curling hair on his head, beautifying his broad forehead and sharp nose, and always smiling to minimize all kinds of argument in this material world. You arrange for our contact with such beautiful Krishna. Now you are again arranging to separate him from us. O Providence, you are so cruel. Most astonishingly, you have appeared now as Okrura, which means not cruel. In the beginning, we appreciated your workmanship for giving us this eyes to see the beautiful face of Krishna. And now, just like a foolish creature, you are trying to take out our eyes that we may not anymore see Krishna here. And what to speak of you, Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, he was very cruel. He once simply knew friends always. He does not like to keep friendship for long time with anyone. Otherwise, how it is that we gopis of Vrindavan, having left all our home, friends and relatives, we have become the maid servant of Krishna, but he is neglecting us and going away. He does not even look upon us, although we are fully surrendered unto him. Now it is the opportunity of all young girls in Mathura that they are expecting Krishna's arrival and enjoy his sweet smiling face. They are now awaiting the auspicious arrival of Krishna there and drink the honey of his smiling face. Although you know Krishna is very steady and strong-minded, still we are certain that as soon as he would see the beautiful faces of the young girls in Mathura, he will forget himself and immediately he would become controlled by them. Certainly, at that time, he would forget us because we are simply village girls and no more he would be kind upon us. We therefore no more expect Krishna coming back to Vrindavan, leaving the company of the girls in Mathura town. The gopis began to imagine how in Mathura city there will be great functions while Krishna will pass through the streets and the ladies and young girls of the city will see him from the balcony and corridor of their respective houses. The Mathura city was then inhabited by different communities known as Dasarha, Bhoja, Andha, and Shatvata. All these communities were different branches of the same family in which Krishna appeared, namely the Jadu dynasty. They were also expecting arrival of Krishna because it is already that Krishna, who was the rest of the goddess of fortune and reservoir of all pleasure and transcendental qualities, was coming to visit Mathura city. The gopis then began to condemn the activities of Okrura. They began to condemn Okrura in this way, that he was taking Krishna, who was dearest than dear to them and who was the pleasure of all visionary activities for them, was being taken away, long away from their sight, without being informed or without being solaced by Okrura on this action. He should not have done such merciless act, taking compassion for such aggrieved persons like the gopis. And the most astonished feature is that Krishna, the son of Nanda, also without any consideration for her, has already got up on the board of the chariot. From this incident it appears that Krishna is not very intelligent also. or a ruler, he may be very intelligent, he is not very merciful also. And what to speak of Krishna? All the cowherd's men, they are also so hard, they are already arranging for yoking the bulls in the carts for going to Mathura. And the elderly persons in Vrindavan, they are also so merciless that they do not take into consideration of our plight and not stopping the journey of the cowherd's men and Krishna to Mathura. And what to speak of Akula, Krishna, the cowherd's men or the elderly persons in Vrindavan, even the demigods, they are also very unkind to us because they are not putting any impediments for their going to Mathura. In other words, the gopis pray to the demigods to create some natural disturbance like hurricane, storm or a heavy rainfall so that Krishna could be checked for going to Mathura. The gopis then began to consider that without any care for the elderly persons and guardians of our household matters, we shall personally go and check Krishna from going to Mathura. We have no other alternative than to take this direct action because everyone has become against us to take away Krishna from our sight, without whom we cannot live for a moment. The gopis thus decided to obstruct the passage on which the chariot of Krishna was supposed to go. The gopis then began to talk amongst themselves that we have passed a very, very long night as momentous only, simply being engaged in the rasa dance with Krishna and looking towards his sweet smiling, embracing, talking. Now, without him, how we shall live even for a moment if he goes away from us? At the end of day, in the evening, when Krishna along with his elder brother Balaram come back home along with his cowherd's boy friend and smeared over his face with the dust raised by the hoofs of the cows and smiling and playing on his flute and looking upon us so kindly, how we shall be able to forget Krishna, who is our life and soul, throughout day and night. He had already taken away our heart in so many ways, and if he goes away, then there is no possibility of our living anymore. Thinking like this, the gopis became more and more aggrieved in the matter of Krishna's going away from Vrindavan, and thus, after all, they could not check their mind and began to cry very loudly, exclaim the different names of Krishna, "Oh, my dear Damodar, my dear Madhav," and so on. The gopis were crying all over the night before the departure of Krishna. But as soon as there was sunrise, Akura immediately finished his morning work and getting on the chariot began to start for Mathura with Krishna and Balaram. The cowherd's men also following the chariot of Krishna Balaram along with Nanda Maharaj got up on the bullock carts, loading them with various kinds of presentation of milk preparation like sugar, milk, ghee, filled up in big, big earthen pots. At this time, gopis, in spite of Krishna's asking them not to abstract, all of them surrounded the chariot and stood up to see Krishna with pitiable eyes. Krishna was very much affected by seeing the plight of the gopis. Still, he was to start for Mathura, and duty. The duty was already foretold by Narada. Therefore, Krishna, with his messenger, consoled the gopis that they should not be aggrieved in that way. He was coming back very soon after finishing his business in Mathura. But they could not be persuaded to disperse. On the other hand, the chariot began to move towards the western side, and the gopis were seeing the chariot so much impatiently. The chariot proceeded. The minds of the gopis also began to follow as far as possible, and they began to look forward to the flag on the chariot as far as it was visible, and the dust due to the passing of the chariot as far as visible. The gopis did not move from their place and stood up till the chariot could be seen from distant place. The gopis remained there, stand still, as if painted pictures. In this way, when the gopis found it that Krishna is not returning immediately, with great disappointed heart, they also returned to their respective homes, but being too much aggrieved in the absence of Krishna, they could simply sing the whole day and night about the pastimes of the Lord, and thus remained in condolence. The Lord also, being accompanied by Akrura and Balaram, with great speed drove the chariot towards the bank of the Jamuna, the river which diminishes everyone's reaction of sinful activities simply by taking a bath in it. Both Krishna and Balaram took their bath in the river of Jamuna and washed their faces, and after this they took their seat again on the chariot after drinking the transparent water of Jamuna as clear as crystal. Chariot was standing underneath the shade of big trees, and both the brothers again came and sat down there. When the two brothers were seated on the chariot, Akrura took their permission to take bath in the river of the Jamuna, and according to the ritualistic ceremony, he also took bath in the river. According to Vedic ritualistic ceremony, one, after taking bath in the river, should stand there full mass, or at least half mass, and murmur within the mouth the Gayatri mantra regularly. So Akrura, while he was standing on the water, he saw that both Rama and Krishna were within the water. Akrura was surprised to see Rama and Krishna there, because he was confident that Rama and Krishna was sitting on the chariot. Therefore, out of his doubtfulness, he immediately came out of the water and went to see where the brothers were there. But still more surprisingly, he saw that Ramakrishna was sitting on the chariot as before. When Akrura saw Rama and Krishna was sitting on the chariot, he began to think within himself whether he wrongly saw Rama and Krishna within the water. He therefore again came a bath and a river hat and oil. And this time he saw not only Ramakrishna there, but many other demigods were present and all the Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, all of them were standing before the Lord, bowing down. He also saw the Seshanaga with thousands of oats. Lord Seshanaga was covered with bliss garments, and his necks were all white. The whiteness of Seshanaga appeared exactly like mountains with the snow. On the coiled lap of Seshanaga, Akura saw Krishna was sitting with four hands and his eyes like reddish petals of lotus flower, sitting very soberly. In other words, this time after returning, Akura saw Balaram turn into Seshanaga and Krishna turned into Mahavishnu. He saw then the four-handed Supreme Personality of Godhead as smiling very beautiful, with his beautiful face, and he appeared to be very much pleasing, looking towards everyone with graceful eyes. He was looking so beautiful with his raised nose, broad forehead, and spread up ears and reddish lips. His arms were as long as to reach the knees of his legs, and they were very strongly built. His both shoulders were raised up, chest very broad, and the neck like the consent. His navel very deep, and abdomen marked with three lines. His waist was broad and big, resembling like the hips of women, and the thighs were resembling like the trunk of the elephant, so other parts of the leg, the joints and lower part were all very beautiful, and the nails of his feet were dazzling. The toes were as beautiful as the petals of lotus flower. His helmet on the head was decorated with very, very valuable jewels. There was nice belt round the waist, and there was sacred thread on the broader chest, bangles in the hand, and armlet on the upper portion of the hand, leg belts on the ankles, dazzling beauty with palms like the lotus flower, and still more beautiful with different emblems of Vishnumurti like consent, club, disc and lotus flower, catching them respectively in four hands, his chest being marked with particular signs of Vishnu, and flower garlands all combined together was so beautiful to look at. Akura also saw his Lord Shiva surrounded by his intimate associates, like the four Sanakas, Sanak, Sanatan, Sananda, Sanat Kumar, and his other associates like Sunanda and Nanda, as well as other demigods like Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others, as well as the great learned sages, nine in number, and devotees like Prahlad, Narada, eight Vasus, all of them engaged in offering nice prayers to the Lord in clean heart and chaste language. After seeing this transcendental situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Akrura immediately became too much overwhelmed with joy, and his great devotion all over his body there was transcendental shivering. Although for the moment he was bewildered, still he maintained his pure consciousness, and thereby he bowed down his head before the Lord and with folded hands and great faltering voice began to offer prayers to the Lord. Next paragraph. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 39th chapter of Krishna in the matter of Akrura's return journey and seeing Vaikuntha Loka within the water of the river Jamuna.